Set a worshipful tone early in the morning. Michael W. Smith, the heart of worship, WWYB. I think the problem is that we kind of think that it's all about us, and then it's all about the Lord, and so that's got to, we got to step down off the throne, and he's got to be on it. So see if Jason Cairns agrees as we commence with the best 5 minutes of the day on a 59-degree Thursday, the 8th of July. Is that kind of the deal? It's all about the Lord, but we kind of think it's all about us, right?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a repeated process, right? I mean, we often try to unseat God probably several times a day and then think, oh, my goodness, I'm trying to take over again. And so we have to recognize that he is Lord of all and kind of lose sight of that sometimes, I think.
And something that has helped you with that, oh, what a segue, is
men. That was beautiful.
Men at the Cross, the floor is yours, Dr. Cairns.
Yeah, so there's an organization I've been involved with for a number of years. I think I first went in 2016. It's called Cross Ministry Group, and they hold an event twice a year in Kentucky called Men at the Cross. And it's a small gathering of men, about 30 attendees. And then there's usually about at least that many staff members who come. And it's a walk through really kind of learning who we are in Christ, kind of dealing with a lot of some of the harder parts of ourselves, basically allowing ourselves to get out of the way so we can see the cross more clearly. And so I've been down there. I went as an attendee in 2016 with my friend Brad Berg. And since then, I've gone down and staffed, I think, 6 or 7 times.
Wow.
And yeah, it's really a pretty magnificent weekend. And so I'm heading down. I know that Eric Crammond, who's a friend of mine from La Crosse, has already signed up to staff. He's going down. And so, you know, it's really a neat opportunity. And I've developed some really amazing friendships through that organization as well. And so, you know, again, I think if people have questions, they can certainly email me. They can look it up at crossministrygroup.org if they want to learn more about it. So, yeah.
When is the weekend and how much is it?
Those are important questions. Yeah, so the weekend is October 15 to October 17. Beautiful time to be driving, and Kentucky is beautiful that time of year.
Uh-huh.
And the cost is $475. So, and then it's you stay there, food's provided. We usually have groups going down, so yeah.
Very good. All right, well, 30, I mean, it's really a deep impact. I mean, something like that happens, I mean, you can really have a deep impact, right?
Absolutely. It's different than any other men's conference I've ever been to, so
Your wife would say there's a counterpart, Women at the Cross, and in fact, as I look at the website, there's couples at the cross.
There is, yep. They Men at the Cross, Women at the Cross, Couples at the Cross. You know, it's interesting. Couples at the Cross is actually on Heather's and my anniversary this year, and we've never done it. And I'm both interested and reluctant to do that. So, you know, because it does end up allowing us to deal with some of the junk that we have.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sure at some point we'll do it. But
so remind me, your anniversary is when?
July 26th.
Oh, so, yeah. So you're probably not. I mean, that's like later this month.
Probably
so,
not. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So here's the big question, though, and we've taken the whole segment on this, and deservedly so. And I've got it up here, crossministrygroup.org, and maybe I can try to post it on the Wib Wake Up Show page and say, hey, this is what Jason was talking about. But is it really about the spiritual content, or is it really about the massive amounts of cheese you eat during the whole drive down and back? That's the reason you go.
Well, you know, that's an essential question, you know, because I actually asked the director who emailed Brad and me yesterday and said, is the reason you want us to come because we bring so much cheese along? And he assured me that it was not. He said, I want to drink coffee with my friend. And so that was, I guess, encouraging. But yes, we bring massive amounts of cheese along down. I think the Wisconsin guys are known for that. So,
you know, it's interesting. One song I've added to the mix, so it'll be coming up after 6 this morning. But you had talked about, as we started the segment, about this idea of doing that that idea of several times a day, right? The idea of, hey, it's not about us, it's about the Lord. So Brandon Heath has a tune called Faith, Hope, Love, Repeat. I mean, that's it, right? And even with something like this Men at the Cross, some Women at the Cross, Couples at the Cross, I mean, it's the idea that, yeah, you got saved, but, you know, having these deeper encounters over a weekend is a huge opportunity. So,
and you want to carry that forward. You know, I think that's part of the reason I go back and staff so often, because I get just as much out of staffing as I do from attending.
So. I bet you do. All right. Thank you so much, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Crossministrygroup.org to learn more.
There are a lot of things in life that need fixing. I'm thinking about my life. Lots of things in all areas that need fixing. But let's talk about our houses. Like, you guys, when you have a home repair, what's the first thing you do? You
call someone.
Yes.
Really? Do you?
Not DIYers here.
Okay. Right. So, and you're hoping that it's not going to be too much money.
Sure.
Yeah. So this is the insight that I had this morning. And I was thinking, recently we did have a problem like that. First, I tried to fix it myself. Not a good idea. Then I had to call someone in. It's going to be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We had to really take stock. Well, then I was thinking, what if they said, I'm going to need your son. I'm going to need to take your son in order to fix this problem. And that's what God kind of spoke to me. He said, you know, there was a broken relationship between us. And it didn't take just a little bit. It took everything. It took my son. Huh. And I thought about Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Beautiful reminder. He was willing to not just pay the repairman. When it came right down to it, he did what it took, and that was sacrifice his son. So that was the thought I had this morning. That's it.
Yeah, no, deeply spiritual, profound, and I love that verse. I love Romans 8 in general, but I mean, Romans 8:32 is so fantastic. So
I mean, and don't ever think that you can outgive God. When we have that amazing, he who did not spare his own son.
Yes.
But gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him also give us all things? I mean, like, don't ever think that the Lord's arm is too short to give you what you need. And sometimes it might not be what you want. Sometimes it might not be what you planned.
Right.
But he gives you what you need because he is good and what he does is good. That doesn't mean you live a life free from pain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bringing this prayer of Jabez heresy that we got into so many times where
yes,
it's like, well, God just wants me to free from pain and have everything I want. No. Sometimes God's will for you is for you to be stretched and even hurt. But if he's good, if you know that he's good, you know you can trust him.
Absolutely.
Even in the midst of that pain, because it's for your good and for his glory.
Right. And that's when I was thinking about the circumstances of my life. There are times when I do need God to call the repairman. There are times I do need God to give me guidance to fix it himself. You know, and he's willing to do those things, but ultimately, he's also already given the life of his son, and that's the security I have. So there you go. All right, calling all heroines looking for their Duke. Peacock, it's the NBC streaming service. I think it's free. Peacock is giving the chance to do just that. Find your Mr. Darcy. There's a new Pride and Prejudice-inspired series where Variety is a show business publication, and they're reporting that the reality dating show will have an original format drawing inspiration from Jane Austen's novel Pride and Prejudice. A group of men will try to win over their heroine and her court in a Regency-style competition while staying in a castle on the countryside. I love that.
So how true to Pride and Prejudice is this? Because she couldn't stand him. At the beginning,
Mr. Darcy.
So, do you bring in guys who've like really, really annoyed you before, and it's like, let's see if this will work out?
It sounds like
that.
On the surface, it sounds like a classier show, reality dating show than the typical fare.
Indeed,
right? From carriage rides and boat rides on the lake to archery and handwritten letters to communicate, they'll be immersed in a time traveling quest for love.
Oh, my goodness.
In the end, our heroine and her suitors will discover if the ultimate romantic experience will find them true love.
I love the handwritten letters touch.
I know.
Swoon.
And here's the thing. I am not somebody who takes much interest, if any, at all in reality dating shows. Just not my jam. But this, I just want to see if you took their phones away, made them live in a castle, and made them write handwritten love missives.
Yes.
How that would turn out. And can they spell? That would probably be the burning question for me.
This is so up my alley, and probably most of the women out there. This is so much romance. That's exactly what you think of when you think of romance, is Mr. Darcy and Pride and Prejudice. So I am going to watch. I have my Peacock login ready.
I think we said yesterday, because we did the streaming segment at 8:45, I think it's $5 if you can tolerate commercials, and then $10 if you want commercial free.
Oh, it
Peacock.
Is? It's money?
So I think
all right,
bit.
I'll pay $5.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit.
Maybe all the commercials will be for British products.
Oh, we'd love that. Why do we take it?
Who's out at the fair? Let's find out. Michelle was there yesterday, and Susan's chatting with her about it.
I'm
getting
here.
Some preliminary information for
the
interview.
Yeah, tell me. So you were talking about the beacon.
And there at the fair. So come on out and see that. And of course, yesterday I was there with Pat Wallen. He is our engineer and on air. So he was very, very proud of that beacon.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, what is the beacon?
So I'll try to remember all of these things that Pat said yesterday.
And so this beacon was put up in 1972.
Thank
so
you.
So about 48 plus years old. So this is what our 700 foot tower in Cornell, this beacon was on there, again, lighting the way. You have to have lights on your tower.
Right.
So,
yep.
Again, nearly 50 years old, and this beacon was just replaced as we put some LED lights on there. So,
he says, we just took it down 2 weeks ago, and then he hooked it up to electric and a remote and put it in front of my desk for a while. But we brought it to the fair, and so we have a little remote control that we can turn it on, this bright red light. And you open it up, and so people can take a look inside, see how big that actual light bulb was, when once upon a time we had to crawl up there every year and a half or so to replace that light bulb.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So it's sort of like a modern-day lighthouse for land.
It is.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
that's so cool.
Everybody who comes is just really interested in seeing it.
I mean, this is massive. It's very, very large.
It's cool now you don't have to climb up 700 feet to satisfy your curiosity.
And yesterday it was a little cool.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had a little rain, but we missed it coming in, and so it was, usually that building is 90 degrees, and so we kind of hovered around that little lighthouse because it gave some heat. You know, there's, I think he said 1,200 watts in that, and now we've replaced them with LED lights that are 82 watts, I think
he said. Not exactly your standard household bulb.
No, it's a very large bulb. So that was very interesting.
So people can expect when they come to the fair, they find the WWIB booth. And where is it exactly?
It is inside Expo Building C. And we are just right inside. We've been there for several years in the same spot. So there is pictures on our little screen. And I added you to that too, Susan. So
oh, wow.
In there as well of events of the past. You can check that out. There's books on the table and some CDs to give away. And we'll do live remotes too. So bring the one where you can carry it around the fair.
Today. And don't forget, too, friends, that you can sign up for our family 4-pack of Dell's passes. I think you and Pat were getting a lot of people up for that yesterday.
Yep.
Big prize.
But it's so neat even just to be there and have folks come up to you and say, hey, I know who you are.
Right.
I listen to you every day. WWIB is on 24/7 at my house.
I love
that's
it.
Just so neat to hear from people that,
for
you know,
sure.
You faces. Oh, yeah, I remember you won this or that, you know.
Right, because when we are saying things, sometimes we get interaction, but most of the time we just say things and there's nothing coming back.
Right.
So this is your chance,
so you
listeners,
to
come.
So
and
I'm really excited for you to be able to be there, Susan, and so everybody can see you because you're the newest member of our team and our family.
I hope there's not a complaint box, is there?
Well, there's this box where you put your name in it.
You oh, dear.
Call that the complaint box, but it's actually
I'm going to hide the pens.
Four-pack pass of tickets. So.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
The complaint box.
Thank you, Michelle. All right, so Caleb and Susan out at the fair today, noon to 4, and again, stop by and see them. Sign up for the chance to win those tickets. The Whip Wake Up Show, WWIB. And yesterday, a couple of legislators from our area, Republican legislators, Donna Roser from Marshfield and Kathy Brunier, state senator from Chippewa Falls, were doing their best to try to make Colby the official state cheese. Now, a little background on this. Colby cheese was created in 1885 when 16-year-old Joseph M. Steinwand tried the cold-washed curd process in his hometown of Colby. Today, 45 million pounds of Colby cheese are produced right here in Wisconsin each year, making Colby cheese one of the most popular cheeses, not only in Wisconsin, but the country.
How much I love Colby cheese. I'm a very big fan of it, and especially like the longhorns of cheese, and you can get like the round slices. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about round slices of cheese, but that's where it's at for me in terms of sandwiches.
Colby is mild. I could eat it all day. It's life.
They say, believe it or not, in a state that produces more cheese than any other each year, Wisconsin produces, get this, this could be a higher or lower for Tuesday trivia, 3.4 billion pounds of cheese. But even the nation is marveling at the fact that, really, you have no official state cheese? Well, I think we probably don't want to offend the other cheeses.
Because we just have so many great ones. How do you pick?
We're spoiled for choice. Anyway.
Hats off to the legislators for getting national attention for this bill.
There you go. Colby's a wonderful town as well. I've called a football game there before. Just wonderful. And I ate at your Hardee's the other day on the way back from a game. So
we can't pick our favorite child. We can't pick our favorite cheese, but we're going to try with Colby.
One last thing. Colby is not the most produced cheese here, which, again, mozzarella is actually tops, followed by cheddar and some Italian varieties. So.